Hi, how are you guys? I hope that everyone is doing very well. I hope that the week has been good. The weekend was awesome, first of all, and the weekend has started very well. And I really hope that things are moving moving very well in your life and all that, especially with whatever is happening in the world today. Thank you so much for joining me once again, and I hope that based on the previous conversation and also based on the previous video, I saw that there's a lot of engagement and there were a lot of questions specifically to the community members or different people who really want us to discuss more and also learn more on issues to do with organized crime. So today, the key question or the key topic that we are going to be discussing is now getting into one of the key protocols. You remember we had mentioned three protocols, that is on human trafficking or trafficking in persons, then there was smuggling of migrants, then also looking at issues of smuggling of firearms either inside the country or also outside the country, that is between different borders. And today we're going to look more just do an introduction and start looking deep into the discussions around human trafficking and also looking at what is the difference between human trafficking and smuggling, because this is something that kept on coming up as a question: what is the difference? Because to some it seems like it is the same thing, but today we're just going to do an introduction. When you're talking about human trafficking, what do you mean, or what should you what should you be considerate of, so that now it can differentiate it between human trafficking and smuggling. And for those who know, maybe you can use the comments to just shed light or to you what is the difference when we talk about human trafficking and smuggling, either if it is for migrants, if it is for different individuals, or for specific items. Because when you're talking about organized crime, and just not only just focusing on people, but also different things. If it is plants, if it is crop, if it's indigenous plants, that is, if it is indigenous crops, if we are also looking into issues to do with animals, different animals. So how do you differentiate the two? So when I think when we talk about human trafficking, one of the key things that we need to look into, remember today I had to come, I had to write some notes so that now we are not we're not guesswalking, but the community members are also people who are asking questions can really understand it very well. So when we look into issues to do with human trafficking, the key things that need to cover, if you're talking about a story, if you're representing a survivor, if it is basically in the legal ways, if maybe you are looking for help and support in one way or another, the key things that you need to cover to make sure that the organizations, or if it is the government, understand what was the starter point and also what was the end. So I hope that you guys are going to be with me until the end of this video. So when we mentioned issues with human trafficking, the three key things that need to be very clear. Number one, that is the act, which is what was done to this individual, if it is a person, to the animal that is being trafficked, and also if it is a plant. So what is the act? The second thing is the purpose. So what was the purpose for them to be trafficked or move from one particular place to another. Then lastly is the means. What was the means that was being used in order to make sure that either this individual has moved from one particular place to another. And this covers not only just the survivor, but also the perpetrator or the individual that you want to be, either if it is arrested or to be punished when it comes to them moving a specific individual from one place to another. So I think the first thing that I want us to discuss more in depth is our number one act. So what was done? And the key things that are always covered in this particular area is number one, looking at as aspect of transport, looking at the aspect of someone who received that particular individual. Number three, someone who is harboring that particular individual, transfer, that is from one from one person to another. Then lastly, recruitment. So when we look at the act, number one, when looking at recruitment, for each story and every story that we have had, and people that are being helped, number one, and most of them is always in the aspect of recruitment. So if I've caught a perpetrator, I need to be quite clear. If they use the means of recruitment, and which particular means was used in terms of recruiting this particular this individual, so is it through social media, which is one of the key things that is being used, or a tool that is being used in terms of recruitment of different people, and were they being recruited for work? Because that is the major thing that is going to be done. So what were the means that was used in terms of recruitment? Was this used in terms of luring this particular individual towards for them to be in this particular place? So if you have, did they use social media? Did they get to the family member in terms of recruiting this particular individual? Because as we had mentioned earlier, some of the key things or the key people that are being used so that now these people can be recruited is number one, family members, because it makes it easier than looking at the aspect of the security that comes with your family member recruiting you to that particular area. And recruitment is not only just for work, but also looking at aspect of maybe schooling. You got scholarship, or you applied for a university abroad, and this was the means in which they used in terms of recruiting you to move from one particular place to another. So when they have already recruited you and they've gotten you, and you understand and you've already seen this particular means, it is quite important to you to mention such kind of thing. The other thing is also transportation. And I think for so many people who, especially around East Africa, one of the key things that is always used is in terms of transportation. And when it comes to transportation, is either did they transport you either using their vehicle, if it is from one particular place to another, because you're not only just talking about international, but also locally inside the country. Which particular means did they use in terms of transporting you? Did they come them as individuals to pick you and go? Did they use means of either they provide the documentation in terms of recruitment? Did they use looking at the aspect, and something that is always used so many times is in regards to they are going to provide the papers, they are going to help you or give you the money for you to get these particular documents so that now you can move from one particular place to another. So how did they use, or what role did they play in terms of transporting you from one particular place to another? And some of the ways or means that are always used in terms of transportation, you can find if it is flying, either they fly with you, they fly with that particular individual so that now they can take them to that particular place. If it is from the village to the urban area that they once were helping in terms of transporting these people, or they used, or they are the ones who provided the means of transportation, if it is a vehicle, if it is a motorbike, whatever way that was used in terms of transportation. So when it has already transported, Then there is the aspect of recruitment, as I already mentioned, and something that I had forgotten in terms of recruitment, even if they use that particular website, it is easier now for you to say this particular website is being used in terms of recruitment, or they put an advertisement if it is a university or something of the sort, in order to recruit this particular the individual or the survivor. Then we're looking at now transfer. So transfer comes in, most of the time you might find maybe if it is moving from one country to another, they are not the ones who are maybe moving with you or transporting you, but they're the ones who are transferring you. So you might find you get recruited, or the individual got recruited in a country. I'll give an example. There's a job somewhere. I've been told I'm going to be given work in maybe Saudi Arabia or in Kenya. I'm in Rwanda, being told that I'm going to be given I'm going to work in Kenya. Then they use my parents to recruit. Make sure that I have the proper documents and so on and so forth. Then they transfer, so from one individual to another. And there was a video that was circulating online for the Kenyans, for the two guys who had gone to the Arab countries, and you could see the Indian who was preparing the documents and so on and so forth, and also say that he's going to give the money, transferred them from one individual to another, the person who was on the other side. Another way can be I was recruited, I was transported to a country, maybe in Kenya. Then when I was in Kenya, I met an individual who told me, okay, who took my documents, who said maybe he's the agent. Then he took me from maybe from the airport now to the person who is going to recruit me, or the person who I'm going to stay with, or the person who is going to help me. Or I was moved to a space, then we were in that particular space, then we were moved to or we were given out to another individual. So transfer. And transferring is not only just from the person or the key perpetrator, but also if I was employed by an individual, maybe I'm Maurice, and I was, and that is the one who recruited me and I was working for them, then they transfer me to another owner or another individual who I'm going to be working for. So transfer. So I was transferred from one particular place to another. So these are the key things that need also to be looked into. Then also harboring. So I've already been moved, I've gone to a particular place. So the person who is going to keep me or is going to be with me, or the person who was now recruited, and most of the time it is either my boss or a family member or a friend, so on and so forth. So who is going to harbor, who is harboring me in that particular place? If it is, and we look at, I'll give an example for some of the children that right now we are trying to help, who are in Kenya, then there is another one who is in Congo, the person who is holding them. So they're in farms where they are looking into forced labor, and they're working into forced labor, there are no documentation and so on and so forth, the documents were taken. So the person who is keeping them in that particular place is the one who is harboring. So for you to identify now that is the particular perpetrator, you say yes, is a perpetrator, because they are the ones who are harboring and holding this particular individual. They took my documents, they took all this. So harboring is also one of the key things that is going to be looked into. So, and you remember when we were talking about transportation or recruitment, I mentioned the aspect of transfer. So the person who also received you, they might not be the person who are harboring you at the moment, but receiving who received you. And for also individuals who maybe might not know, for you, maybe you are told there is a girl or there is a boy is coming to work for you, and it comes from the village and they're very well. If you received this particular person and you didn't go through the right process, they didn't have the right documents in terms of if it is for work, or you took the documents and kept them, or maybe giving them very bad documentation if it is issues to do with the contracts and so on and so forth. So you're harboring this particular person, you're holding this particular person. So you are also a perpetrator and also taking part in the aspect of trafficking this particular individual. So when we are looking at that one aspect in terms of act, is what was done. So did they transport this particular individual, or what means of transportation was being done? Are they the ones who are harboring this this individual? Number three, did they receive this particular individual? Was there an aspect of transfer from one individual to another? I'm recruited, I got a document, my uncle, maybe I passed my exams, my uncle said, I have this job somewhere in Nairobi, and I really want you to come to come here, because the job is going to help you in one way or another. It's going to benefit you, and as you are also going for work, I'm also going to look for a way how I'm going to take you to school. So I move from maybe my parents, then they transfer me to that particular person. So my uncle is the one who received me. Either he's the one who's harboring me, or he is in contact with someone else, or an agency, or is in contact with an individual who I'm going to work for. So he received me, then transferred me to someone else. So those are the acts. Those are the acts that it is easier for, if it is representation, especially in the legal means, quite important to showcase and show what was the act that was being done, and how did the perpetrator take part in regards to them, this individual moving from one place to another, or if it is an animal moving from one place to another. And one of the key things that maybe even people always forget is even using apps, because if you look at indigenous animals like parrots and so on and so forth, one of the key things that are always being used in terms of transfer or in terms of transportation is looking at online e-commerce sites, where it is easier for them to be recruited, or it is easier for someone who is going to be buying this particular individual, or is going to be recruiting this particular individual, is going to help in terms of making sure that it is clear what are the particular acts that were being done in terms of moving this this individual from one place to another. The second thing that from when you have already now identified what is the act, then so what was the means? What is the means that is being used in terms of transferring these people? So how was it done? And there are a couple of things. So number one, there is threat, which we all know, especially when it comes to people who have been trafficked. And the threat is either you don't have the right documents, you moved from one particular country to another, and when you move from that country to the other country, they took your documents and they took advantage or you not having the proper documents, then they use the means of threat. If you do not work for us, and if you do not accept maybe this payment, we are going to either to take you to the police, or we are going to take you to either whatever authority that is there when it comes to issues to do identifying who engage in this particular countries. So, and most of the time they always use threat, because if you use threat, it is difficult for an individual, especially for those who don't have documents, to have an act, or either go to the authority, because one of the key things that keeps on coming to their mind, if they go to the authorities, they're going to be either arrested, or they're going to be deported either to the different countries. And you see, if it is someone who has come to either for employment, and either they do not have finances, they do not have means for them to move back into their countries, they most of these recruiters use the threats, and some of them are always like, we use this amount of money to move you from this particular place to another, so you will not come back until you pay us back your money. And you'll see, for most of the survivors, when they see such kind of a thing, then it is they just keep quiet. They'll be like, okay, because there is no other way that they are going to use in order to move. Number two, other forms of threat is, we know your family, especially for those who are being recruited for sexual exploitation. We know your family in your country, and maybe you are going to harm them in so on and so in one way or another. And you find, if you have such kind of a system, it becomes quite difficult for an individual or a person especially who is vulnerable, is coming from a vulnerable community, who doesn't have enough resources, who doesn't have enough finances to move them from one particular place to another to do anything. So you'll find they just remain there and do whatever they do. And you'll find even children, especially for children who are being recruited either for labor or for war and so on and so forth. Another aspect of means is now looking at the aspect of deception. And for deception, it's always quite clear. And I was recruited, they said I'm going to get work. My uncle told me that I'm going to be employed, or my aunt said they're going to take me back to school. Then when I reached to that particular point, everything changed. So now, when you've already arrived, maybe you're in a different country, you do not know whom you're going to go to, and the person said, you tell them, no, you had told me to come, and when I came because of maybe employment, I came for this particular purpose. If it is working, I came maybe to work in an office. If it is the aspect of prostitution, I came for prostitution, but now you're taking advantage or using different means. So there was an aspect of deception when it came to recruiting this particular individual. So if it is for educational purposes, if it is for labor purposes or work purposes, or also just for benefit. You are coming to visit me in urban areas because you are family and you want to see together as you maybe take you to maybe or let you meet other individuals of maybe your age group, so that when you go to university, you've already met a couple of people who are going to the same university. Then when you reach, things change. So those are also aspects that you need to make. What kind of deception is also used, or how was this person deceived when it comes to them being recruited and moving from one particular country to another. Then another one is the aspect of coercion. So being coerced that maybe you're going to get a better opportunity somewhere, or the chances of you benefiting in one way or another is going to be quite high. So these are also ways and means that are going to be used, especially for someone who is coming from a vulnerable community, and one of their key purpose or their key focus is creation of employment or creation of not creation of employment, but looking for employment so that now they are able to help themselves, especially economically. And now they're using aspects of deception. And I won't lie to you, the key reason why I keep on using aspects of family members, because the aspect of deception is so low that you quite don't understand. And also culture plays a very huge role, because if you're also deceived, when you get there, you're like, okay, they're still my uncle or my auntie, so let me just go with the program and with that particular program and see if maybe 1 year down the line or 2 years down the line, then whatever they had promised is going to be worked on. Then you find it is something that was not worked on. So these are also ways that are always, it is easier for you to now to see this is the aspect of trafficking of this particular people. Then also the aspect of abuse of power. And abuse of power can be looked into if you're looking at religious leaders, if you're looking at family members, especially those that are older than us. If you're looking at individuals, if you're moving from one country to another, then they know that you do not have the right documents, that they are boss, and so on and so forth. So they take advantage of those gaps to make sure that either you work extra hours so you do not get the right contract, or you are engaged in activities that were not planned, that were not part of the plan when you traveled to that country. So looking at it in all those ways, so vulnerable communities, this aspect of deception, there's aspects of threat, there's an aspect of deception, as I mentioned earlier. Then the old means that was also being used is the aspect of being abducted. So abduction can also be the means that was being used, or how was it done in terms of now movement from one place to another. And you'll find this especially in groups of children and also women, for children for labor, or also being sold, or also for organ trafficking, and also women when it comes to issues to do with labor, and also sex extortion in one way or another. So means. So those are the particular means, as I'd mentioned earlier, and I will repeat again. So there's aspect of threat, force, being forced to do something that you had not planned to do. Maybe you're going to work for someone, then now they are asking for sexual favors, and so on and so forth. They're forcing you to go and work in a particular industry that maybe you didn't want to go to work for. You're recruited as someone who's going to be a secretary. Then when it reaches there, they say that now you're going to work as a prostitute. So you see, and they're forcing you to do it because either you do not have the right documents. Number four, as I will say, coercion. Someone saying that you're going to get better opportunities somewhere, then taking advantage of that. So you've already talked about the act. We've already talked about the means. Then lastly, now looking at the aspect of purpose. So what was the purpose that they either transported you, then threatened you? The first one is labor, mostly. Is also forced labor. What kind of labor engagements are being done? And this is looking into children, looking at women, looking at men, looking at the different areas that is being that are going to be done. Then aspect of prostitution. If maybe you are you're going into working in a particular area, then now you're forced into aspect of prostitution. And this is not only just for women, but also for men. And looking at different ways. And one of the key things that I always make it clear is there are also people who move because maybe they want to engage in prostitution, but maybe that is not in the basis of the contract. Something that came up was not in the basis of the contract that you guys had agreed on. So looking at it also in that way. So if someone took advantage and changed maybe the terms when it came to when they were recruiting you, and now they're looking into different things, so the purpose was you going there for labor or they're going for prostitution. Another thing that is also for the purpose is now maybe for organs. So for organ trafficking, especially something that is happening in West Africa and also the northern part of Africa, and organ trafficking. So you came to a particular country, and for the purpose that they were trafficking you is for your particular organ. So another aspect that we are looking at the purpose is the aspect of exploitation. So you are recruited and you went to the right the right work of your secretary, and you went, yes, you are recruited as a secretary, but now there is the aspect of exploitation, and this is looking into issues to do with contracts. Do you understand contracts when you are traveling and you are getting maybe your visa or your work visa? What are the terms of the contract when you are getting your work visa? Are they being followed? Are they not being followed? So looking at it in that way. So as I mentioned earlier, when you're talking about human trafficking, so number one, what was the act? Transportation, transfer from one particular individual to another, recruitment. Were they recruited, and how? What was the means of recruitment that that was being done? Harboring, especially when we are talking about the perpetrators, are they the ones harboring? Was there a means of transfer from one particular place, from one particular individual to another? Then the second one is looking at what was the means that was being used. Was there aspect of being forced to do things? Was there an aspect of threats that was being used there? Was there an aspect of someone misusing their power? If it is your boss, if it is your family member, if it is your religious your religious leader, if it is any individual who has power and they're taking advantage of that particular power. There's the aspect of vulnerability, someone coming from a vulnerable communities and they have understood that this person is a little bit vulnerable, so how are we going to take advantage of them? Then looking at the aspect of coercion, being coerced. So those covers the aspect of memes. Then also looking at, lastly looking at the aspect of purpose. What was the purpose that was being used in terms of moving this this particular individual? Was it in there for forced labor? Was it for the aspect of for sex trafficking or sex exploitation? Was it the aspect of slavery? Was it the aspect of prostitution? So when you are looking at human trafficking, these are the key things that need to be focused on. And one group that is always one of the key things, especially for the means, is not always looked into, are only children. So only children are the ones that we always not look into. What are the means that were being used? If it covers the two particular areas, if it is the purpose and also if it is the act, then now for the children it is going to be looked into when it comes to issues to do with trafficking. So one of the key things that I had mentioned, what is the difference between someone being trafficked and someone being smuggled? For someone being trafficked, there is a direct contact between the perpetrator who got you from where you are and where you are going. So they know where you're going, they know what is going to be done. However, they're using aspect of coercion, or they're using the forcing you, or the lying to you, so that now you are able to be recruited. So they know from the start point all the way to the end, to the end point, they know what is being done. But for smuggling, most of the time is they're just offering a means for you to move from one particular place to another. And most of the time for smuggling, you'll just find the individual that is being smuggled already knows where they are going, or they already know what is their purpose for them to travel. Whatever the smuggler is just doing is helping them move from one point to another. But for them, they really do not know where you are going or what you are going to do, and the things that are going to happen when you reach that particular place. So you just pay them, you move. If it is either through the border, if it is through the lake, rivers, whatsoever. So that is the difference between smuggling and trafficking in persons. And to get more and more information in regards to this particular key areas, looking at number one, laws, the different laws that different governments have developed in terms of if it is migration or movement of migration, if it is in the purpose of labor, what is needed? You need a passport, you need a visa, you need a contract to show, you need a bank account, you need all these legal documentation, so you need all this legal means to approve that where you are going, they already know, the government already knows whom you're going to meet, who is going to recruit you, what is the purpose for you for your travels, and for how long are you going to stay in this particular area. So different governments have different laws in regards to this. However, one of the key things that brings the gaps, especially when I've talked about the acts, the means, and also the purpose, is looking at the different international labor laws between different countries, and also the different different agreements, and also looking at the culture of those particular societies, the different societies. So you'll find in different countries, like for the Arab countries, the aspect of if I employ you, I own you. So all the documentations and all that are given, I'm going to take them. And are going to stay. I'm not saying that that is done to every single individual, just saying that now for the purpose of trafficking. And you might find maybe for Kenya is a little bit different, or for Rwanda is a little bit different. So what are the agreements, and when there is the agreements between different countries, so when it comes to labor, have they already identified these particular loopholes that can be taken advantage of, so that now the aspect trafficking does not happen. And for every individual that always we always talk to, and we engage, and when we are always doing these trainings, is always make sure you rather stay at home, get the money for you to have your particular documents ready, or go through the legal means, either going to the Ministry of Migration, getting your visa, going through the loopholes. They are long, they take, they're tedious. One of the things is they are also quite expensive, which is also one of the key loopholes. They take a long time, especially if you've already gotten work and the contract is going to start a little bit earlier. Then there is always the aspect of this other individual is giving me a leeway for me not to go through all these these processes. When you see that, then there is that gap for you to be to fall into the grasp of the perpetrator in one way or another. As I am saying, however, this doesn't mean that for every recruitment agency, they always have something that is evil behind it. However, for most that we have worked with, there is always that particular aspect where there's aspect of coercion, or during recruitment there was a little bit of lying in one way or another. So just a call for you as an individual, especially for someone who wants to travel abroad, make sure you understand what are the difference between the laws. What are the legal documents that are needed? Is there a means for me to get these particular documents in the legal way? If it is either through banks, if it is either through families, if it is either different ways, so that now you are not in the grasp of someone who is going to be saying that they used either money or they used finances to move you from one particular place to another. So you are either you have to do whatever they have to do, either for you to pay back the money and so on and so forth. So when you understand that, and I hope that for each and every single person who has joined us today, if you're a lawyer, if you're someone who is getting into the issues with organized crime, especially under human trafficking, it is quite important that these three things are in your head. Lastly, and I will repeat them, the act, what was done, the means, what was being done, how was it being done. The third thing is the purpose. What are the key purpose for you to travel from one place to another? One of the things that I always say, and someone maybe might ask, does one, especially when it comes to smuggling and trafficking, can one lead to another? Yes, most of the time you always find smuggling can lead to trafficking, because the smuggler just helps you move from one point to another. Then whenever it happens, or if you maybe you go to a recruitment agency that got you, when you reach at that particular on that particular end, then trafficking might happen from there moving forward. So it is quite clear for you to understand at what point did the smuggling end, then where did the trafficking start. You might find also through trafficking, when they are doing either transportation and the person who is transporting you from one way or another is just smuggling you maybe across the border or across one particular state to another. So it's quite clear and quite important to you to understand this these stages, so that when it comes to either number one, representation of individuals, when it comes to human trafficking, when it comes to if it is the law you're taking them, or you've already gotten the perpetrator and you're looking for a way how you can make sure that they are behind bars, then it is easier for you to mention how these three or they took part or they played a role in terms of making sure these three points were clearly covered, so that now we have a clear aspect of what is smuggling and also what is trafficking. Then it is easier for law to take its course. For more and more information, especially in regards to this, is looking at the protocol, which I think for the next video, I'm going to break down the human trafficking in persons protocol, so that now each and every individual can see which are the specific areas in these protocols, so that now it is easier for you to know if we are talking about policies, if we are talking about different agencies, because it is not only just the Ministry of Migration only that is focused on human trafficking. We also have the Ministry of Education. We also have Internal Affairs, External Affairs, and all these ministries. There are different other laws, there are different policies that can help in terms of making sure that these three things are not focused, or we cover the people from the vulnerable communities when it comes to issues to do with human trafficking. I hope that this has created a little bit of clarity when you're talking about human trafficking, and also the difference between human trafficking and also smuggling of migrants. And I hope that either through the chat and through your comments, maybe the question that I can ask is, maybe for you or as an individual, have you seen these things happen? And maybe for you, you are just thinking, it is something that is normal, and you might find it is not normal. And it is clear for now you to identify, okay, who are the people who are around me, especially who are at the community, and who is taking advantage of them, and how are they being taken advantage of. So having this clear and having this in mind, one of the key things that make these three things move is, number one, looking at the aspect of people coming from vulnerable communities. Either you're poor, you're coming from a war-torn community, or a war-torn area. There's the aspect of individuals maybe in the community where maybe the things that are not working out for you very well, so it makes you a little bit vulnerable. You find these are the key things that make this thing work. Because if I do not have money and I want to cover my family, then someone is giving me an opportunity that sounds really good, there is a high probability of me taking it. So as you always say, when the deal is so sweet, please think twice. Thank you so much for joining me. And before I just conclude, one of the key things that I really wanted to mention, and whatever is happening all over the world right now, if you're looking at Sudan, if you're looking at the northern part of Ethiopia, if you're looking at whatever is happening in Congo, if you're looking at what is happening right now in the Middle East, in regards to Israel and Palestine, is please, we call upon each and every individual. It's not only just international organizations only. Each and every individual, there is always an amicable way to solve issues, and not only just saying that. The two groups, if it is in Sudan, the groups that are fighting, Ethiopia, also in Congo, there are issues that happen between these the groups that are fighting among us to each other, and we all know, and all over the world, we all know there are other ways or means in which these issues can be solved, especially for countries where these things have been happening for a very long period of time. Is there a way for us to start looking into, instead of just looking into doing mass action, into mass punishment for each and every individual, even for those that even don't know what is happening, how can we look for a way how we can sit down, solve things amicably? And for the international institutions, let's just not stop. Let us just not talk. Let's not have resolutions. Let's not just have documents. Let's not just have reports. Let's now work into aspects of action. Because one of the key things that I've come to realize is people and perpetrators have come to realize that there is a lot of talk and no action at all, and it is easier for people to take advantage of that, because each and every single group will want to justify why I did this, why I did that, why I did this, why I did that. But there's a really good reason why you, all of us, as citizens from different countries, as citizens of the world, there was aspect of international laws and the aspect of how should we engage in terms of solving conflicts. Those who developed those particular strategies or frameworks were not dumb and they're not stupid enough. they did understand what were the impacts when it comes to people not sitting down and solving issues amicably. They did understand the impacts that are going to come with it. So for OIH and every individual, can we look for a way how we can sit down and solve these issues? There is a way that we can solve these issues. Let's not lie to one another, or there is no way that we can solve. We can solve it. There has been a lot of conflict among each other, among his families, among his individuals, among different groups, but there is a way in which we found a way to solve these particular issues. And for the families that are being affected, if it is in Africa, if it is also in the Middle East, if it is also in Europe, my heart is with you guys, and we are looking for ways in which we can help in one way or another. However, the strong and the stronghold also falls to states. Let's stop talking a lot. Let's put our words into action. If someone is doing something wrong, let's say it. Let's solve it in one or another. And let's make sure that we are living in a peaceful world rather than fighting and looking for ways in which we can solve other issues. We have a lot of issues. We have issues with climate change. We have issues with youth unemployment. We have issues to do with food security. We have a lot of issues that are affecting community members at the community. Why don't we use those resources to make sure that we are building systems that make the world a better place? I know that those that will want not every area in the whole world to be at the same point. However, for me, I always say, even if Kenya, even if Rwanda is not going to be at the same level as US, but if each and every individual in these two countries are able to get food and are able to work, are able to provide for their families, are able to live in peace and be happy, then that is what we should strive for. We should not strive for who is going to flex how much power and how much energy we have. Because for me, it has reached a point where we are not solving anything. We're just in a cycle and on a cycle and on a cycle. So I hope and I call for everyone. Let's hold hands together. Let's it be first, we are humans. Then we have different opinions in the basis of religion, in the basis of where we come from. We have all these things. But that doesn't mean that because we have different opinions or we have different religions or we have all this and that, then we cannot live together. Please, let's look for a way. I know even me and my brother do not understand. We have different opinions and we have different areas, but we do not fight and kill each other in order just to either to prove a point or to show something. So let's work. And for the families that are being affected and those that have our tragedies, my condolences. And for the family from Smart Talk Cafe, we are praying and working together, not only just praying, but also looking for ways how we can help in one way or another. Because as we said, less talking, more action. Thank you so much. Bye.